everyone, this is Lara Eady, and we're back with another amazing singer-songwriter guest on my show, The Notes Between, a podcast focused on female singer-songwriters all over the world. And today's special guest is the incredibly talented and very, very lovely Evie Asio. Hello, Evie.
Hello, Lara. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just so happy to talk to you today. How's your day been going so far? What's been going on?
My day has been going okay. I'm just another day, just kind of working, spending time, a little bit of time at home. But yeah, no, it's been a good day so far. It's a bit rainy in London, I'm not going to lie. We're not getting good weather yet, but yeah, I can't complain. It's a good day.
Okay, so Evie's in London, folks, and I'm in Athens. I'm sorry to rub it in, but we are known as the country of sun for for good reason. Sorry, Evie, you're more than welcome.
It's okay. I'm leaving. I mean, I've never been, so I'd love to go, but I am gonna leave soon. Like, is it not to leave to live, but I need to get out for a holiday, definitely. Yes.
Come to Greece. It's sunny. It's warm. The seas are great. Well, eventually. Anyway, aside from world travels, we're going to be traveling with Evie's music today. I've listened to her beautiful album, Contending and Contention. I love that title, by the way. That's brilliant.
Thank you. I think the more I heard it, the more I was like, is this a good title? I've gotten quite a few compliments on it, so I think it's good. But sometimes you hear something over and over again, you start to second guess, like, how good is this title actually? I just came up with it based on the themes. I didn't think too hard about what it was going to be. So I'm glad you like it.
I love it. And you know what? On that note, I totally hear what you're saying. You know, when I released my own album in September, like, most of my albums have very, well, I like to think they had like whimsical titles and play on words, alliteration. And then this album, I actually just called it Sun. <It's> 'cause I was like, no, if people want to know the meaning, they can listen to the music, because, you know, sun embodies everything. So I like that. I like, you know, when artists give time to titles, and sometimes, you know, it just comes. So that's really great. So your latest album is called Contending and Contention, and you received praise from so many artists. And I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to misquote somebody here. Ah, yes, it was Tom Robinson from BBC Six. And I agree with this quote, by the way. So he was talking about your track Turning Time, and he said, and I quote, that gobsmacking, I love that, gobsmacking 6-minute single appears on my speakers. Every time I hear it, I hear something else new in it. And, end quote. And I totally agree, Evie. I've listened to your music. Of course. And it feels, and I'm not so sure it was intentional, I'm pretty sure it was just your natural process, but it feels like each track on that album, because it is a concept album from what I gather, it really just unfolds onto the next track. And it's very, very rare that at least singer-songwriters have concept albums, actually. So I'd like to start by saying, when you wrote the album, when you came up with, or let's say the ideas for the album, what sort of process did you go through?
That's a really good question, because I think the process was not as thought out as one may think. I was really obsessed with albums growing up, and when I decided I wanted to get like back into doing music, taking it seriously around 2018, I actually had loads of different drafts for different album ideas for a couple of years before. I'd write some songs, I'd be like, oh, maybe it should be about this. I'd write some song, and then I would always kind of fall out in love with those ideas, be like, maybe not, maybe this is a bit too contrived, maybe I'm forcing it a bit too much. And then when these sets of songs started to form, I really saw them coming together. They were some of the songs were written before the album idea came, some of them were written afterwards. But as these songs came about, just through life experiences, a lot of it was based around things I was going through. And I started to think, oh, these songs all have links. And actually, there's a theme in my life going on. So it was built around the theme of just my life and what was happening at that time.
Okay.
But as it came together, I said, okay, I think this is the theme. I think this is the what I want my first album to be about. And then after that, everything else just fell into place, and then the other songs kind of fit. And then I began to structure the order of the songs, and it just fit, and everything just seemed to come together in a very organic way, which is what made me feel, okay, I want to continue on with this process because it doesn't feel as forced as maybe some of my other ideas.
Okay, that's really interesting. And we're going to go back and talk about a little, well, actually in detail, I hope. We only have like 35 minutes about how life always inspires artists, and and countless singer-songwriters have said, write what you know. And what I do hear in your album, yes, you're absolutely, it's very hard for artists, Stevie, I think, to explain their music, but you're doing a great job because you have this very clear idea of how you wanted to just trust the process. And I think that's what the listener gets. And I really love the fact that you open the album with an instrumental track, something that is very, very rarely seen. And I totally get why you did it. I feel like you wanted to remind the listener that, you wanted sort of to provide this beautiful sonic pedestal, if you will, for them to sort of dive into your world and then share your stories. Is that kind of like what you had imagined?
Yes, in some ways. I feel like no, I definitely do hear that. I think with the introduction, it was quite interesting for me because I write a lot through words, as a lot of singers I do. I feel a lot through the words I say. But as well, as I've especially discovered this whole producer aspect to my writing, I also write a lot through chords. I say a lot through chords. I say a lot through sonic building, and I love it when a song tells you story through the instruments, through the sounds. It's what I really wanted to achieve with each song. It was really important to me that the sonic aspect played as much of a role, or some sort of role, a significant role alongside the words. And so there was a lot of feeling in that first song. It's not just, okay, I'm going to throw these chords together. Oh, it'd be nice if I had an introduction that was piano. It was really a lot to symbolize the sort of breath before you start to speak, the mindset, all the emotion, the tension that I was going through in that time in my life. And so I love kind of listening to that piece and remembering how I felt when I started to piece the chords together at my home on my little piano, and just think about, okay, how do I want to, what do I want to say in this track that has no words?
Exactly. And so, can I just talk to you about that for a second?
Yeah.
So, a lot of what you're describing is very much the process of how a singer-songwriter approaches things musically before anything else. So, do you yourself, are you playing? Because I'm so sorry, I couldn't find any info on that. Are you playing any of the instruments on the album?
I actually am not. I did, so I produced the whole album,
Of
but in
course.
terms of playing, I kind of like know my limits. I studied piano when I was in school, and then I started moving towards self-taught and sort of teaching myself from a songwriting perspective when I was about 16, 17. So I haven't actually had any formal piano lessons for maybe 14 years. And as much as I love playing and I love kind of piecing things together, I definitely felt like I wanted the I don't want to feel limited. I don't want to put myself on just for the sake of saying, yeah, and I played the piano and I did this and I did that. I have knowledge of quite a different instrument, so things like the bass lines, I wrote them myself, the guitar patterns, I was very heavily involved in how they sounded, but I also enjoyed the trust of having musicians and saying, okay, how can it sound like this? Or can we try this sort of feel? And that sort of balance between what I've written and also who I would like to play on each track and what sort of I'd like them to bring to the track was very important to me. So yeah, I did a bit of piano programming on a couple on a piece or maybe two, but for the most part, it was other musicians that I'd invited on the journey.
So this is what I've been hearing. This is okay. That's really great. And talk to us about your collaborators actually, because I feel like you've really sort of drawn this pool of amazing musicians to come on board with you. What was that like? And you know, who are some, if you'd like to share some of the collaborative process with whom? I'd love to hear about it.
No, that was really fun. I love working with other musicians, and I am so fortunate at the people I've had along the journey. And some of it was very intentional, some of it was just happening by chance, some of it was meeting the right people at the right time. So when I started this journey, I actually wanted someone else to produce the album for me because I didn't see myself as a producer. I didn't know really what that would entail, and I was very nervous and unsure of myself. I mean, the whole process of this album was definitely me growing more confident. But within, at the beginning, I wasn't very confident. So I started the process, and I actually asked a friend to help me produce. But then I think halfway, like COVID happened, and that friend was quite busy, and it just wasn't kind of working in the way I wanted to. But when I decided, like I think maybe was it July 2020, when places started to open up, and I realized, okay, if I want this album to sound the way I want it to sound, I think I need to produce it myself. But alongside that, I asked my friend, who's a musician, his name's Michael, also stage name Mikairi, who's again incredible multi-instrumentalist, works in production, works in sound engineering. So I was just like, can you help me just like bring this stuff to life? Like just be in the studio with me. I just wanted an ear, and just someone to bounce off ideas and to just help execute. Because I really wanted to be well executed. So working with him to make sure all the tracks were finished was fantastic.
What's his name? Can
And
you say it again?
Mikairi,
Makari. Great.
it's taken from a Ugandan pronunciation. So my heritage is Ugandan and so is his. If I
Fantastic.
was to get up the exact way it's spelled, because I want to be true, so Mikaiyiri.
Thank you for that.
Oh no, absolutely. I think it's really important. I want to make sure I get this stuff right. So yeah, and then my mix engineer Dave Holmes was also another person where we went along the whole process. When I started, I didn't have a lot of money. I was kind of just like trying to figure stuff out. And also I didn't know it was going to take as many years as it did. So I just said, okay, I know you're good. Would you be happy to mix my whole album? And I'm sure he thought, oh yeah, like a couple months. And it ended up just being like a process of just a couple of years re-recording stuff.
Go
So
easy.
much stuff was re-recorded. So much stuff was kind of like fought through, and it became a really big process. But he was along the journey the whole time, did a fantastic job, and we really understood each other's working styles. And I feel like a lot of the sound development was because of him, and that's why I credit those two people first. But in terms of musicians, I have some music friends from university who were able to play on some of the tracks, some friends of friends. And again,
Great.
things like bass was really important to me. I think like three different keys players for different songs. So my friend Alex Wesson plays on some of it, my friend Jerome plays on some of it. And then I also have a friend called Isaac, who plays with some of the pieces. And that's actually, there is another pianist as well. Again, I just want to make sure I get their name correctly because it's actually my first time working with them. It was a friend of a friend, and she's the one who actually plays on the introduction, because it was, yeah, because I wanted someone who had that sort of classical style. So yeah, Kwan Yi Chan
Okay.
plays on the first two songs of the introduction and in the middle.
Evie, it's
So
so
yeah.
great that you're giving these artists a shout out. No, really. You'd be surprised
Yeah.
how many people don't. So I'm hugely grateful to you for that. That just shows a level of apprenticeship and you know, just all around respect. So thank you for that. I'll make
I
sure to
really do appreciate them. I really do.
And it shows that they appreciate you because your album is just, it's so fluid. I think that's the word I would use to describe it when I fr the first hearing. You know how you listen to albums and you need to listen to them a couple of times, you know, from start to finish. And I think, and this is a good thing, most of the times when you listen to albums, I don't see a lot of having said that, I don't see a lot of singer-songwriters, at least the new generation, the next generation, releasing albums anymore. You know, it's all these singles and these reels, and that's all great and fine and dandy. But then you come along and other people come along, and you've put in so much work, rightly so, to give us a whole album. And I honestly think that's the way forward.
It was, yeah, it was very scary to do that. I was, again, kind of doubting myself a little bit towards the album release because it's not the thing to do. Especially, I had quite a few songs that were like 6 minutes as well. And I don't have an EP, official EP out. I have a couple of quote unquote EPs on SoundCloud and things when I was experimenting. But this is the first body of work, really, that I showed the whole world, and it was an album. And that was down to the fact that I'm just obsessed with albums. I grew up on albums. I used to buy albums and read liner notes, and I just felt it was right for me. And sometimes, as an artist, it's really scary to do things that you feel like are right for you, but are maybe not the most, they're maybe not the most kind of generally marketing-wise right thing to do. I think I saw. If you get what I mean, it feels
I
like
do.
maybe I should have done an EP first. Maybe I should have released a few individual singles because again, it took me a while. I released Pendulum in 2020. I released Available in 2021. I released Turning Time in 2022. And even though I would have loved to have released them all across the space of a year, they just weren't ready. Actually, I said yeah. So that's just the way it ended up happening, but I'm proud of what I've achieved, definitely, and what I've done.
You should be. And having said that, you very cleverly segued into the first track that I want to play, which is actually Pendulum.
Great.
I love the whole story behind a pendulum and how it just represents everything. And I will ask you about the lyrics after we hear this beautiful song. So,
Absolutely.
ladies and gents, everyone, the whole wide world who's listening to this fascinating lady, we're going to play Evie Asio's track Pendulum. Have a listen.
My indecisiveness is chasing me up and down the walls of wistful possibilities. Am I too stubborn to stay? Too sporadic in my ways? Am I too blind to see what's in front of me? Maybe I should slow down. They come and they go. No, no, no. And so, oh, I know I shouldn't let my doubt not too blind to see what's in front of me.
Hey everyone, we're back, and I'm going to ask lovely Evie a question about your chorus. Can you please tell me the lyrics of the chorus to Pendulum, the track we've just heard?
Okay, so I had to kind of sing it in my head before I saying it. So I say, I know I shouldn't.
You
Pendulum.
Can
I know I shouldn't let my doubting get the best of me. Pendulum, around in circles till I capture some clarity. Yeah, those are the chorus
lyrics. Wow. You know, you're the first person to actually sing aloud on a podcast.
Oh, you said I should sing. You said I could sing. I said, okay, let me sing it.
I did. But no one has ever actually sung before. Oh, no, wait. There was Laura De Belder who sang a little bit, but you've just sang the whole chorus. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Beautiful voice. Jeez Louise.
Well, thank you.
Gorgeous. So the lyrics are, for those of people who maybe can't listen to the podcast, because I will put those up later on. Can you just say the lyrics now?
Yeah. I know I shouldn't let my doubting get the best of me, around in circles till I capture some clarity. And obviously the word pendulum.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
That as well.
That's beautiful. And what inspired you to write this track in particular?
Yeah, it's just my complete and utter inability sometimes to make decisions. I've gotten better now, but
join the club.
I've said somewhere, this album is really kind of like a summary of my late 20s and just me really letting it all out before truly moving on to a new chapter in my life. And so I have often been quite an indecisive person, struggling to make the right choices, knowing what's best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this was me kind of just in my frustration over a funky song, just kind of talking about, yeah, just the fact that I struggle to make decisions. I sometimes go round and round the same ideas sometimes. And yeah, this was caused by a few things. This is one of the songs, because a lot of the songs are kind of really inspired by relationships. And this is one of the few songs that's inspired by more than one thing or more than one relationship, mm-hmm. just relationships mm-hmm. with just a few different people or situations with a few different people at the time.
Yeah.
And even like, choosing between people and choosing between just all sorts of things, me just not being able to make my mind up about what I truly wanted and what the right answer was, and so yeah, that's really what that chorus is about.
It's so catchy too. Like I was listening to it yesterday on the way to rehearsal actually, and I walked in sort of like mumbling the chorus. I had to stop myself because like no, I'm recording something very different today. Okay, I'll put pause and listen later. It was so catchy, and you know, that's what I love. Another musical quality about your album, which I absolutely loved, is that you really got every single sound imaginable. And when I say sound, I've sort of I will link this to something you said earlier about marketing. I think when someone who is not familiar, let's say, with your music, since we're, you know, focusing on the lovely you, it's very easy for audiences to sort of say, oh, that sounds like this person, or this reminds me of such a song, or what's the style. When I listen to your album, I listen to it three times, first as Laura, as a person, and then as Laura as a singer-songwriter, and then Laura as a journalist. And I found that I had the exact same feeling every single time, and that your songs are literally stories, and the music changes with the lyrics, not the other way around, you know. So yeah, it's not that you've just got an amazing, you know, band of musicians who are harmonizing with you. You're actually leading them with your voice, and your instrument is your voice, but it shows very, very beautifully in every single track, which is something that's very nice to hear and refreshing. So I just wanted to tell you that. No, of course, because that's what appealed to me personally, because I, like you, I love creating sonic baths and beds and layers. And I think, you know, going back to what you said about marketing, it's one of the toughest industries we're in, you know, the music marketing. And I don't think, personally speaking, I know that there is no one solution, you know. There is no one right way to go about it. I think when you find your balance And when you find what works for you, that's the right way. I totally hear you. And I think that a lot of people have been preoccupied with genre and, you know, and ethnicity sometimes, and, you know, identity. And I can understand all that. But I feel like it's nice to hear thoughts from someone like yourself that says, well, listen to the music first, and then you can ask me all those other questions. I feel like that's where you're shining.
I think so. In terms of genre, again, I think I definitely cannot deny, like, my jazz background, the fact that I did a lot of jazz singing and studying, especially at university, which is a very defining moment in my musical career. I love so many other genres. I'm inspired by so many things. But I think first and foremost, that's why I call myself, I used to say singer storyteller, but I think that sounds a bit cheesy. But I definitely call myself a storyteller in the way that I don't want to say, okay, because I have a certain genre that I'm used to, or that people are used to hearing from me, or that they expect of me, that that is what will dictate how this sounds. I write first. I write the song, and then I think, okay, what will sound fun on this song? What sort of vibe will sound well? And I'm not, obviously there are certain genres that lead themselves to my vocals or what, or my styles. So I'm not saying that I'm completely, like, outrageously eclectic, but I definitely draw on so many different things, and I like to be guided by the sound of that song. And I hope that as I continue my musical journey, I will keep that. I think I enjoy that. I enjoy just going whatever genre I feel like in that moment, and hopefully that won't hold me back from people being able to kind of understand where my music comes from.
Absolutely. And actually, that reminds me of a lyric of yours, and I believe this is from the track Imperfect People, when you say, quote, "The image I have built, I am finally taking it down. Right now, I see you as you are," end quote. So that for me sums up exactly what you've just said. You know, we build images as artists. We're kind of forced to, and then we realize that building an image is so much deeper than what we thought it was in the first place. Because building an image is sort of deconstructing who we are, but then realizing that we're just human, but actually with a lot more to say. That's the power of us weird, fantastic musicians. And I say this for the people, our non-musician friends who, you know, support us and sometimes don't get our process. And I think it's good to let them into our world sometimes and say, well, actually, we're doing all these things at once. And before we play your track, Imperfect People, I'd like to ask, did you have maybe I know you had probably a few of these moments, but perhaps would you like to share a defining moment where you knew that you would end up being a singer-songwriter in your life?
A defining moment. I think, okay, this is one.
Okay.
because I've loved music since I was young. I've been doing music since I was in primary school, and I've always been drawn to music, could never get away with it, could never get enough of it. And I'd get it where I could, especially in a world where sometimes in London, music education can be quite different depending on where you're able to get it. But I remember being at university, I was at school, and I was still studying music and English and maths. And I knew that I could go on another path and do something safer. But I just thought, do you know what? I want to do music. And I think that's when I was like, no matter what I'm doing, I'll be doing music. That is something I want to do. And it's me making that decision to be like, I could do something or put my energies in something safer and have music as a back burner and something to be like, I can do it just as a, just in case, or just if I have the time. But I just thought, no, that's what I want to do. And so, yeah, I think when I was like 17 is when I really made that decision to be like, yeah, music is mine.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing, Evie. We're going to go ahead and listen to your wonderful track, Imperfect People. Have a listen.
The image that I have built, I am finally taking it down. Right now I see you as you are. And my innocence drowns, and all
beautiful track. I will share it later, folks. It's actually one of my favorites. Evie, your whole album is great. I think that one just at this moment in time resonates with me the most, probably because of what I'm going through. So that's another, so thank you for that. That's another quality to your music which I like. You have a very sincere way of presenting your truths, because I feel like each of your tracks is your personal truth, whether it's through shared experience, as you said, or your own take on things. And I think going back to that line, the image I have built, I'm finally taking it down. It feels like there's a whole story there as well. And I wondered, so if you're happy to share how you, I will say this and share whatever makes you comfortable. I can hear that it took a lot of courage to write what you wrote. So did you feel that was a very special moment for you? And if you'd like to talk about it in any way that makes you comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay.
That song is probably the most personal out of all of the songs on the album, of course. And It's a song that I did struggle to write. But actually, it's funny because, so yeah, writing that song, I knew what I wanted to say, but I couldn't really find the words until I'd had a conversation with a friend who was going through a similar issue, similar but different. And being able to talk out, I didn't even talk to him about the song. I didn't even tell him that, oh, you've helped me write the song. But we had that conversation about their issue, and I just said, I think I've got it. And I just began to write from there. But it's, I think the reason why that song, I think for me, goes at the end and it feels so full circle, because it really is about how I see this other person. And it's very much about just coming to terms with the fact that, okay, I have to sort of let my image of how I see you and how I expect you to be go. But then also, it's like there's so many double meanings in this album, but that was a very big double meaning for me in terms of, yeah, I've got to let it. I also got to let my image for myself go. I've got to kind of let go of what I'm trying to be as well. And that's why I kind of ended it with a sort of like you, like me sort of thing at the end, because I realized that actually so many of the things that we see in other people are actually reflections of what we see in ourselves, which is actually the moral of the story behind this album. I'm talking about all these people, but actually the thing that ties it all together is me and the reflection that I see of myself. So yeah.
Oh, Evie, you make me smile. We are always going to be mirrors of each other. I totally hear that, and that's what I believe to the very core. So thank you so much for sharing that. That just made me smile. And I think that it takes a lot for artists to talk about, you know, the personal stuff. And you know, if music isn't the most immediate personal way of connecting with people, I don't know what is, personally. So thank you for that. And I just like to say that we only have a few minutes left. Can you believe it?
Oh my God, no.
I know.
This has been so good, honestly.
Oh, bless you. I'm telling you, like, I've been very fortunate with everyone that's come on here. And so it makes me very happy to hear you say that, because it's been so fun to talk to you. And I will ask two more questions, even if we run over time. It's okay. I'll figure it out. But I want to know, do you have any future plans with this album, or do you have a new album in the works? What are you thinking? What are you imagining?
That's such a good question again. So last year, 2023, I decided to accidentally rest, because it's tiring putting out an album. It's a lot of it's a lot of energy, and I was getting married, and there was just so many things going on in my life. I just said, you know what, I need time out. And then coming back, I've had a lot of conversations. I've had some lovely conversations with some artist friends about what to do next, and I definitely want to take the pressure off. There's no album in the works. I've got a couple songs in the works, but I want to really go where the music takes me. I want to do better at what I do. I want to perform more. I'm doing some stuff with my band, which is exciting. I want to, make some good music. And I don't want to constrain myself and feel like, okay, now I have to do this while still enjoying music and still doing music. So that's my plan. I might release something this year. It might not happen. but I definitely do want to just spend some time investing into my music and just enjoying the process.
I love that. Oh, I really love that. Take the pressure off. Absolutely. And can you just spell your website so that when you do have things in the diary, people can come and check you out?
Absolutely. Yeah. So my website currently is www.evieasio.com. So that's spelled EVIEASIO, same as my music name. And right now it's kind of got some information and just things that I've done around contending and contention. Anything Great. I do new will be up there as well. So people are more than welcome to check it out.
Fantastic. Well, I definitely will. And I just have one last question for you. If you were given a day to work with an artist of your choice and collaborate. Whew, I know there's not right answer, but let's say two artists, who would they be?
Right now, because this changes every day.
Of course.
If I took two artists, one of them would have to be Jacob Collier. because I'm so inspired by the way he does music.
Of course.
And every time I see him like doing like just like talking about music, doing social media interviews, I'm just like, if I could even get you just to listen, just to like, or just to collab, or just do something, that would be great. And right now as well, the second artist is maybe Corinne Bailey Rae. She's another huge, huge influencer behind my music. But I've seen kind of what she's been doing with her new album, and I just feel really inspired by where she is at now, and just how she continues to create and how she continues to present as an artist. I would really love, as you can tell, I there are a lot of British artists I have a lot of love for.
Yes.
But yeah, at the moment those would be my two.
That's amazing. I love that. Oh, I love both artists as well. Well, Evie Asio, thank you so much for coming on to this podcast, The Note Between.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been so great. And I hope next time I'm in London to hang out and have a coffee with you or wait, no, sorry, folks. I've quit coffee. Have a tea with you.
Have a tea. Absolutely.
I have to say that to myself because I'm a huge Mediterranean. I was coffee person. Anyway, so I hope to see you in the near future. And it's been so enlightening speaking to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'd like to play a last track of the day, but I urge you folks to listen to her album because it's just so beautiful. And the track is called Love is Low. And this has been Lara Edie for The Notes Between with special wonderful guest Evie Asio for Women in Jazz Media. Take care, folks. Bye, Evie.
Bye.
There are no bridges to burn. There are no roads to turn from. I've torn every failure apart. And what is left are things to learn from. I've been sitting here with my heart in my fingers, trying to find the space for something new. But I should have known never to look too far. My strength can be my biggest weakness. Just call me when your love is low. That rode within.